Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report, and Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Start things off this week talking wrestling, and of course the state tournament is over now and with great results, and really put Western Minnesota on the map once again with great showing with the team and the individuals as well. So talking to Hank Ireland this morning. Good morning, Hank.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you can talk about your team, talk about the tournament, however you want to close out the season this morning, okay?
Yeah, it was a busy weekend, which is awesome. That means you're doing some good things to have a busy week. But yeah, it was very busy and very fun. We started off in the quarterfinals against Casson Manorville. And we knew that coming in. They're ranked number two. They're the two seed. We started off with Eli Olson getting a pinfall for us, and Gavin Mortensen followed that up by winning a 6-3 decision. Then at 121, Tygan Long lost by a fall late in the second. Ben Gunlickson got us back going with the pinfall. Then Colin Shocker lost by a tech fall. Then Dan Gunlickson won a overtime match. Cameron Staffer lost a tight one. Nathan Peterson lost a tight one, 7-4. And then that's kind of when Casson hit their studs, kind of hit towards the middle there. And we ended up only giving up a tech ball the next two with Brian Rohde and Noah Meyer. And then Parker Boffin lost by a major decision. And then Landon Olson lost by a decision, lost 9-1. And then Brady Rohde got a pinfall 28 seconds for us and came up a little short. We lost 35-24 against Casson. So that wasn't the boys were kind of down after that one. You know, we had them up, gave them everything they wanted, and Casson ended up going on to lose in the finals by 5. So that was a very tough team that we gave them everything they wanted.
Right.
So we kind of had to regroup, and I think some of the guys were kind of down against, we had Dilworth, Glendon, Felton. So they kind of had to regroup quick. It was a quick turnaround, so we wrestled them right after that duel. But our lightweights kind of really fired us up. And Eli Olson started us off with a 4-3 win. Then Gavin Mortensen won by a pinfall. Tygan Long, Ben Gunlickson, and Holland Shocker all won by a pinfall. So that was quite impressive to come out firing like that. Well, then Dan Gunlickson won an 8-0 decision, and Cameron Sather won 6-2. So going into 152, I think we're up 34-0.
Wow.
That was pretty impressive to do at the state tournament.
Yes.
Then Bentley Boffin lost by a fall. Mason Peterson won by 10-7 decision. Noah Meyer lost 8-7. And Parker Boffin wrestled and lost 13-6. Zach DeBeer won a 6-0 decision, and Brady Rohde won by a pinfall. And that made the final score Team United 46, DGF 12. So that was a very impressive win, bounce back win, to get us to the fifth place match. And in the fifth place match, we wrestled against Watertown Mayor Lutheran. And we knew they had three guys in the finals individually and ended up with two state champs. So they had some real studs on their team. Eli Olson started us off with a pinfall, and Gavin Mortensen and Tygan Long both lost by tech falls, so they saved us a couple team points there against two of their state finalists. Then Grayson Olson lost a major decision. Ben Gunlickson won an overtime match. Holland Shocker won a tight 2-1 match. Dan Gunlickson won by a pinfall. Cameron Saffer won 6-0. Mason Peterson won 12-5. Noah Meyer had a tough kid bump up on him, and Noah pinned him in the first period. Parker Boffin had a state finalist and lost by a major decision. Zach DeBeer won by a pinfall, and Brady Rohde won by a pinfall to give us the fifth place championship, winning 42-18. So another kind of dominant win for Team United. And it was good to tell the boys it wasn't as exciting this year when last year both matches came down to heavyweight kind of, but this year it's a lot more fun just to kind of dominate the teams and not let it come down to our big guy at the end.
Yeah, and a lot of, around the Xcel Energy Center about that. I mean, you ended up the consolation champs, but you, in a lot of people's minds, people thought that you were probably the third best team in the state.
Yeah, I think we were definitely the third best team there, and we could have been in the final top two if a few more other things go our way against Casson. But that's why you're Russell. You know, Casson's a good team for a reason, and we gave them everything they wanted. You know, that's their closest dual meet besides the finals. So
yeah,
I think boys are pretty proud of the way they wrestled, and consolation champs back to back, easy to do. But good group of kids, they're up to the challenge.
Yes, they did. Great job. Well, then you turn your attention to the individual tournament, and with six competitors, came out pretty good.
Yeah, Eli Olson came out and wrestled his first match. He won 9-2, and then he ended up losing his next two to get eliminated. Ben Gummickson did the same thing there. He won his first one in an exciting overtime match, and he lost his next two to be eliminated. Then Cameron Sather won his first one, then he lost the second one, then he won his first consolation round match, and then he just came short of placing and lost his fourth match, so he's one match away from placing. Zach DeBeer, up at 215, he got tossed and caught, pinned, and that ended his day. He was 0-1, but in the team side, Zach beat the kid from DGF, and that kid ended up getting second in state, so Zach was right there to up there with the best of them at 215. You know, he definitely could have placed, but that's why they wrestled. You know, that kid just caught him, and hats off to that kid.
Yep.
Then at 139, Dan Gunlickson won his first two, then he lost to two-time defending state champ Jack Nelson in the semis. Then he won his consolation semifinal match, and then his third place match, he won 2-1 decision to get third. So that was a great tournament for Dan. They're typical Dan matches, you know. I don't know why guys choose down against him, because they're not getting away. He won his last two matches by 1 point because he rode out his opponent in third.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. And Dan ended his career with 199 wins.
Yeah. One away
very
from 200. Wow. Yes.
And, yep. And
well over 100 pins, too.
Yeah. And his senior year, he was 56-1.
Wow.
And I think 57 is the most wins in Minnesota history in a season, so he is now tied for second for the most wins in Minnesota State history in one season.
Wow.
Very impressive year.
Yes.
And then our heavyweight, Brady Rohde, he followed the same path that Dan did. Won his first two matches with a tech fall and a pin, and then he lost in the semifinals to the eventual state champ, Logan Bender. Then he came back in the consolations and won by pinfall, and then his third place match, he won a very smart match by Brady. He won 5-0, and he ended up taking third. He ended up with 50 wins on his senior year as well, and I think in his career he was 105 wins. So that was a very impressive year for those two seniors, and going out with 50 wins and third place medals is pretty impressive, and a fifth place team championship as well. So
yeah.
Good group of seniors we had.
Yeah.
We had Mason Peterson. Like I said, he won two matches down in the state tournament on the team side. Adrian Norman, he was kind of bouncing all around for us this year. He'd go wherever the team would want him. You know, he'd bump up to 52 or down to 39, wherever we needed him. Zach DeBeer, he had a great year. Like I said, he beat the kid that took second, ended in the state tournament. Parker Boffin had a great career. He was a state qualifier last year, and this year down at state, he wrestled some pretty tough kids. He wrestled the one kid got first, the other one got second, another one was the one match away from placing. So he kind of had a rough go at it on the team side of state this year, but a great career. So hats off to him. And like I said, Dan Gunlickson had a great senior year, and Brady Rohde had a great senior year as well, both of them with 50 wins. And we had Sergio, who never got on the varsity side for us, but was a great practice partner. And yeah, those seniors will be missed, and they got a lot of accolades to hang their hats on. Two-time fifth place in the state is pretty impressive.
For sure, for sure. And hopefully they can come back and help out in the practice room if they stick around throughout the next few years, and that would really help as well. But you still have a pretty good group coming back, too.
Yeah, we should be tough again next year, get the guys in the right spot, get them to put the time in the summer in the weight room and on the mat. Yeah, we should be tough. And yeah, those seniors, I'm sure they'll come back. They seem to get along well with all the underclassmen, and it's just a great group of kids, you know, on and off the mat.
Right. Well, I know
we wrap up our season.
Yeah, go ahead.
We wrap up our banquet now. We have that tomorrow, so we'll have that, wrap it up, and look on to next year in the summer.
Okay. Let's talk about the banquet. Where and what time?
5:30 in Dawson.
Okay. What door?
Nice way to send off the seniors. And
would that be in the cafeteria or what?
Yep, in the cafeteria area.
Okay. So 5:30 tomorrow for the wrestling banquet. At that point, you'd be giving out some team awards?
Yep, we'll give out all the All-State awards, which is Dan Gummickson and Brady Rohde. And we had two guys on the All-Team tournament team. If you go undefeated during the team portion, then you can get nominated for that. And that was Eli Olson and Brady Rohde were the All-Team tournament team.
Okay.
And we'll hand out our all-conference awards as well. And we got a lot of guys that were all-conference. I think Eli Olson, it was pretty much our whole lineup, was all-conference.
Okay.
Eli Olson, I know he was. Gavin Mortensen, Tygan Long, Holland Shocker, Ben Gunlickson, Dan Gunlickson, Cameron Sather, Ryan Rohde was honorable mention, Noah Meyer was all-conference, Parker Boffin was all-conference, Zach DeBeer was all-conference, Brady Rohde was all-conference, and there's one more honorable mention. I think that was Grayson Olson.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, we got the awards in the mail the other day, and it was a pretty heavy bag. It was pretty impressive to have the whole team pretty much be all-conference members.
Right, right. So, you just have to be thinking about wrestling again throughout the spring and summer, and go back at it. It's important also to go out for other sports, don't you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. We encourage them to do try to do three sports, you know, three seasons. You know, you got your spring sport and fall sports, and yeah, those definitely help you stay in shape and just keep your mind, kind of take your mind off of wrestling for a little while too, and think about something else to regroup.
Okay. And maybe, once again, give some credit to your assistant coaches as well here.
Yeah, we got great assistant coaches. Ryan Swenson, he's kind of my main guy I go to quite a bit. He's our main technician. Then Kenny Sather, Sam Hendrickson, Luke Boffin, and Mike Coyle man up the ninth grade league. They do a great job with those guys. So, yeah, we got a great coaching staff and great support with the ADs and great support with the families. And Sam Gunlickson came in a few days for us. Travis Bierhensel was in a few days. Those guys coming in whenever they can. And we had some alumni come in a little bit, too. Jake Boffin came in a couple days. Xander Clausen was in there a couple days, too. He just graduated last year, so that was good to have him come in. So, yeah, got some great support. And the families do a great job of getting the kids where they need to be on time and putting in the time in the summer, too. That's a big commitment to put the money and time into it in the summer, and the parents do a great job of getting their kids there, and the kids do a great job of working hard.
Good, good. Well, I want to thank you for every Saturday morning either doing, because you have a lot of activities on Saturdays, taping it during the week and promoting and telling people about the progress of your team. I want to thank you for that.
I want to thank you, Dick and Danny Lee, for coming to quite a few of our events.
Great.
broadcasting them. And
yep.
You guys do a great job, and the kids really like enjoy seeing you there, too.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for the wrap-up, and let's have a great banquet tomorrow, and a lot of people show up, and we'll be talking to you again next year.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, all fish and seafood, 10% off. All frozen white wrap meat, 40% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to wrap up the La Caprera Valley boys basketball season with head coach Robin Rademacher. And good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Paul.
Boy, the basketball season goes fast, doesn't it?
Well, when you look back at it, yes, it does. As you're going through it, it seems like, boy, you know, when you start before Thanksgiving, and this year it's been a wonderful year for basketball, any winter sport, just with the weather we had. So, but yeah, next thing you know, it's like, wow, where did the time go? When you spend basically almost 4 months with a group of kids and games and different things like that, it does definitely fly by.
That's right. What year is this for you, Robin, as head coach?
Well, this is my second time back around. I think before that I had put in 8 or 9 years as far as the head coach goes, mm-hmm. So I lose track. The older you get, Paul, you don't remember so many of those years. By. You're happy you always get another one.
All right, right. All right, well, let's go back to last Saturday in Montevideo, Super Saturday, they call it.
Yeah, we were the 6th seed. We were playing the 3 seed in Central Minnesota Christian. Coach team, disciplined, hardworking, and they get after you on the defensive side. And we knew that coming out, and it was a back-and-forth game early on. We ended up at halftime by 7 points, 36-29, right in the game. I know we started out early. We got a lead, and then they battled back and hit a few shots from the outside. But we went in the locker room pretty pleased. Come out, we get the ball in the second half to start. We get a basket. We traded a few baskets. Next thing you know, they got it up, you know, I don't know, maybe a dozen they got up by. We called a timeout. And then we went on about a 5 or 6 minute run where we didn't allow them to score. Got the game down to, I think, 4, shooting some free throws. Didn't go in on the free throws. We're looking at about 4 or 5 minute game. It's a 4-point game. They go down. We play good defense, and the young kid for them, a freshman kid from there, shot clock winding down, banks in a 3-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of, that they're kind of just, deflated us. And, you know, we were able to come down, take a possession, then they hit another three, push it back to 10, and we battled all the way through, and we just come up short, and they end up winning the basketball game by 8, 64-56.
Played them tough then.
It was one of those games, and we knew that coming in that we were going to be able to compete with them, and it's going to be a good basketball game. The difference in the game, if you look at every stat out there, they took 53 shots, we took 51. We both shot about 41%. We were 8 of 12 from the free throw line, they're 8 of 11. We had 7 offensive rebounds, they had 8. We had 21 defensive rebounds, they had 21. We had 16 assists, they had 18. We had 9 steals, they had 9 steals. Turnovers were dead even at 15. Block shots tied at 1.
Wow.
The one stat I didn't get to was the 3-point line. We were 6 of 25, they were 10 of 19.
Oh.
And that there's the difference in the game. They made us work for everything. They were tough shots that we had to take. They just, you know, found a guy in transition. They banked in a couple. And that's the difference in the basketball game. Stats-wise, across the board, it was an even game. And they just were able to knock down a few more outside shots. Mm-hmm. And there you go. That's the difference in a basketball game. And our kids worked their tails off. They left it on the court, as they have all year. I just got to tip their hats to CMCS. They just made a few more shots than we did, and that's basketball. And as the playoffs goes along, you're seeing that with other teams too. So overall, it's very hard to lose, knowing that it's going to be some kids' last game, and playoffs are always tough on that. But knowing that our kids competed, and that I think that's what I was most proud of.
All right. Well, the Blue Jays are playing for the North Championship tonight in Marshall with Minnesota, so that'd be a good game, too.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I thought if we could get by CMCS, and we had our chances against McCray, we had matched up well with them early in the year. Don't know if we'd have got that won the game, but we'd have liked our chance. And like you said, CMCS, they ended up knocking off McCray by double digits, and then like you said, they're going to be meeting up with Minneota, who I don't think a lot of teams had Minneota or fans had Minneota making it to the subsection championship game.
Right. Well, this year's the seeding, you know, Minneota's fourth. What were you guys? Fifth or sixth?
Sixth.
Yeah, and you know, those six teams, anybody can even meet anybody really when you play well.
It was, and that's the crazy thing about basketball. How short the game is, and one team gets hot, and the other team is all of a sudden you look up at the clock, you're trailing, and young kids, they get the pressure, you starts mounting, and then you have a missed shot or a turnover, and the pressure gets to you. And I didn't think the pressure got to our kids. It was just that they were so tough defensively. But yeah, it's a wide open one. Like I said, you got the 3 and 4 seed making it to the championship game, and the 1 and 2 got knocked out. So that just tells you how tough it is and how competitive it is.
That's right. All right, stats on the game.
Yeah, we were led by Caden Molden with 18. TJ Mitchell had a nice all around game with 13. Matt Art off the bench had 10. We had Eli Hagelin with a couple 3-pointers. They did a good job taking away Davis. Davis had a hard time from the outside. Defense on those guys were tough. He ended up with 5. We had Baxter Kalloff and Peyton Rademacher each take one shot and convert on their one shot each for 2 points. We also had Tygan Allpress playing the game but did not score. Rebounding-wise, we were led by TJ with his 9 rebounds, and Eli had 7. Assists, we had a couple guys with 4. We had Eli and Davis Patzer each have 4. Steals, Davis led us with 4 steals. Block shots, we had TJ had 1 block shot on the night. Like I said, the difference in the game was just the overall their ability to knock down a few more outside shots with 3-pointers.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, that ended your season there, Robin. Let's talk about that season. Maybe talk about some of your seniors.
Yeah, we ended up the season, I believe we ended up 10-17 on the year. Probably not where we wanted to be, but that's where it was. And you know, it's a tough one when you play in the Camden Conference and our non-conference schedule. So we would have liked a few more wins, but we liked our draw being the 6th seed and playing the 3. So we knew that we had a chance. Seniors, hard. When you lose guys like TJ Mitchell, Caden Molden, Eli Hagelin, Peyton Rademacher, those 4 guys, you know, they put a lot of time into the season and working hard. And contributing. The kids that have been with the program since I helped coach them as fourth graders, so they've been around a long time. And anytime you know that you have that timeout with 50 seconds to go in the game, and you can look in their eyes, and they're starting to sense that it's hard. And when you see those kids knowing that they're going to put on that jersey for the last time, but knowing that they've given it their all, they've contributed. They were good kids on and off the court. You never had to worry about them. They get good grades in school, so you weren't worrying about any of those types of things. I think they've laid a nice foundation for some of our younger kids coming up. So we're definitely going to miss those guys as they wrap up their basketball career. They're going to be out for spring sports. Three of them play baseball, and Eli runs track. So those kids get to play a little bit more. A few of them are going to go on and do some college stuff, like Caden Molden and T.J. Mitchell, I know, are committed to going on and playing some football after high school, so that's going to be fun to watch. But, yeah, it's sad, but, we got a nice group of younger kids coming back also.
That's right. Who helped you this year, Robin?
We had Joel Boris, who's been around for a long time, does a great job doing the B-Squad part of things. He's a great sounding board. He's there early, gets the kids ready. He's taping ankles. He stays late and shoot with the kids, whatever they want. Joel's just one of those guys that will do anything for the kids, and it's fun to have. And we have John Redepetting back again. This is his second year, and he worked with the freshman group, and very valuable. He likes taking TJ and Baxter and some of those big guys and going to work with those guys. Did a nice job with the ninth grade, gives it his all. And it was great to have those two guys. We always would meet, halftime, during games and get a game plan and talk after the game. And they were a great sounding board, giving their advice. And that's one thing I asked them to do is, hey, just don't be a yes man. If you see something that isn't going right, make sure you let me know, because I'm going to miss things. And having those guys around has been nice. They're committed to the kids, and that's what I always look for first. That's their main, and their first focus is on the kids and helping them get better.
All right. Stat people, managers?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I don't want to forget. We had Cale Benson. This is his second year doing it. He's a senior. He's done it now 2 years. He earned a letter. He comes to every home game, every away game. Home games, he'll come and help out the ninth grade fan on the road. As he said, he goes, I'm a little nervous at first, but you know what? He got himself very comfortable doing it. He realized, too, he goes, you wouldn't. He goes, this is a pretty fun job. I go, why is that? He goes, I get the best seat in the house. Get in. And he sat right there, and his book was always accurate after the game. I'd look at it, and can't thank him enough for doing those types of things, because the behind-the-scenes stuff people don't realize, and Cale was a very valuable part of that, so I want to thank him for doing that for us.
Yeah, we got a few minutes here. What was some of the highlights for you, Robin, this season?
Anything stick out? Yeah, there's a few of them that stick out. Obviously our first game, you go up there to Wheaton and we get a win, and then we have some tough home games where we didn't come up. We're a little short. I think a fun experience for our kids is we play some different teams. You talk about a Rockford team that come all the way out from the metro area played here. It was fun for our kids to compete and to hear the Rockford kids kind of think, oh, go out here, there's nothing out here, and all of a sudden our kids showed up and had a chance to win that game. So that was fun. I think going to White, South Dakota to play in that the Minnesota South Dakota crossover against a Lower Brule, a native school on the reservation, on the Lower Brule Indian Reservation out in on the Missouri River, was a lot of fun for our kids. And then stopping and afterwards with the varsity group and eating at Buffalo Wild Wings. I think we took a coach bus up to St. Cloud. I don't think any of the kids had ever been on a bus like that, and they thought that was pretty neat, and stopping and eating afterwards. Just the memories that, the daily practices, the visiting with kids in the locker room, and just the overall, I work with the K-4 kids, and it's a lot of fun, and I wouldn't pass that up. But then all of a sudden getting out to visit with 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, that gives you a different perspective of where they come at the elementary age, and watching them grow to where they are now to being young men is always a fun for me. I enjoy the practice part of things and getting kids ready for that and having them work hard. So lots of memories. It's fresh and it's hard to review that, but in time you pick up all the good things. I'm sure you always want a few more wins, this and that, but you have to realize it's a journey, and it's more about than wins and losses. It's about building those memories and providing some backbone and real life experience with our kids that things aren't always going to be easy. You got to work for what you want, and telling them you get out of it what you put into it. And those are all things that they're going to realize as they become either fathers or working members in the community.
All right, real good, Robin. Well, I want to thank you for being on the Coach's Show every Saturday morning. We really appreciate that.
Yep, no problem. Thank you guys for all you do for the area sports. Mm-hmm.
All right. Talk to you next year then, Robin.
You bet. Have a good offseason.
All right. Robin Rademacher, head coach of the La Caprera Valley boys basketball team, wrapping up that season. And we'll take a commercial break, come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Shadowland Farms Trucking of Appleton offers custom trucking, lime application, and excavation. Call Brad Mitchell for more information at 320-297-0142. And Shadowland Farm Trucking is a proud sponsor of all La Caprera Valley sports and activities. It's a Sunday sale at T&D Barnwood Rustics along Highway 212 in Dawson, Sunday, March 10th from 11 to 1 o'clock. Delight will be taking 75% off everything. That's right, 75% off all available inventory. Cash and check only, please. That's a Sunday sale at T&D Barnwood Rustics, Sunday, March 10th from 11 to 1 o'clock. Everything must go. Rustics located along Highway 212 in Dawson.
In honor of Dennis Anderson's 95th birthday, which is Tuesday, March 11th, there will be cake served today, Saturday, from 1 to 5 at his shop. That's the First Place west of Crossroads Lutheran Church in Dawson. So head on over there today from 1 to 5 o'clock and wish a happy 95th birthday to Dennis Anderson. Come on over to the Appleton VFW this evening from 4 to 7 for the Sophia McTighe benefit. Sophia is being treated for cancer and a long road ahead, and this will help defray some of the expenses. They'll have a meal, silent auction, and bake sale. That's at the Appleton VFW Nation, 4 to 7 o'clock this evening, benefit for Sophia McTighe.
When you grow corn or soybeans for a living, you're always looking for the latest advances to help your fields be more profitable. That's why it's time to turn a channel. When you plant elite channel seed products, you also get the services of your very own channel seedsman. You see, your seedsmen work with you year-round to make the most of your operation. For customized service, expert advice, and elite seed products, your local channel seedsmen are Tron Tossel and Dylan Erickson of Tron Tossel Seeds. Contact Tron at 320-297-0403 or Dylan at 320-269-1250. That's Tron Tossel Seeds, your local channel seeds dealer.
Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. We've got kind of a treat for you this morning, doing an interview with a coach, really not a coach by title, but he does some coaching, and that's Chad Felton, the vocal music teacher, director, whatever you want to call him, the jack of all trades, He had a special event here just a week ago. If you bought the Western Guard paper and the other area papers, you've probably seen a picture of a quartet that sang at the wrestling tournament just last weekend. So what an opportunity for those boys.
Yeah, it was kind of a by surprise a little bit. We had got an email looking for acts or for national anthem entries for the wrestling tournament, and it was right after the first time the guys sang at a home basketball game. So we got to give a little credit to Mr. Rademacher for inviting us to sing and giving us a push to like get that worked up. And we sang at that game. That happened to be the day before I sent a video to the people that were organizing the wrestling tournament, and then didn't hear anything, and 2 weeks went by, and they sent the schedule out, and we were on it. So we said, great, we're going to the wrestling tournament, guys.
Yeah, and it was done at the 5 o'clock, right before the 5 o'clock third and fifth place matches at the state tournament. And luckily, Team United was wrestling right after you. So what a thrill for those kids. There was like 9,500 people in the stands.
Yeah, so, you know, it was just a little bit of an experience just walking through all the people to the, you know, going to the tournament to watch, and we got taken downstairs and then past the security guards and past the doors that says NHL only, and they got us a little room and then said, okay, follow us, and we're coming up the chute where you would, you know, normally be going onto the ice to play some hockey, and
right.
There's all these wrestling mats, and you look up and there's screens and people and swaths of blue and yellow and orange and pink for our team, and yeah, it's quite an experience just that entering into that space.
Well, that performance has been taped by a number of people there, and by the way, they got the standing ovation. Probably they sing the anthem twice a day, in the morning at 9 o'clock and in the afternoon at 5 o'clock, and they got the biggest ovation. You were supposed to wait until the color guard left the stadium with the flags away. Well, they got a big ovation before, as soon as they were done singing, and then they got a real big one once the color guard was there. Then that, what a thrill for those kids.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We should mention, you know, we talk about the quartet as a whole, but there's four freshman boys from out here at La Caparo Valley. We have one John, Jason, Samerson, and Christian. They've done a lot of growing up in the last couple of years, and people are usually amazed to find out that, yes, they're only freshmen.
Yes, and I saw you trying to let the public address announcer know how to say those words, their names, and you tried to write down phonetically, and he didn't get it very good, but I saw the smile on the boys when they were introduced at mispronouncing their names.
Yeah, it was quite good. It was just a couple of vowels that look a little different on English versus the correct pronunciation. So they take it all in stride, and, if we do more of these kind of things, we'll write it out even better for them.
Well, besides that quartet, you're a busy man with other activities as far as vocal. You have a swing choir, you have a major choir, you have a concert coming up, and state competition as well.
Yeah, so on that route, the concert choir, which is the grades 9 through 12, which all four of those boys are involved in, has the Minnesota State High School League section level music, our large group music contest this coming Monday on the 11th. So, and contest is kind of a misnomer because we're not competing against the other schools in our section, but we are being adjudicated on a standard form that three judges will be giving us a score, and then we kind of go from there. So, and there is no state level, so there's no going on, unfortunately, but we get to have the notoriety or kind of pat in the back to see where we stand against the form this year. And then next Thursday, the 14th, there's two concerts. At 6:30 is the 5-6 concert, grades 5 and 6, and at 7:30 will be grades 7 through 12. And I did ask the boys to sing the national anthem as the opening of that concert. So if you'd like to see them live and not just on your phone, come to the concert at 7:30 on March 14th, and you will hear them.
Yeah, that's for sure. You also do some community events, too, like a Veterans Day program where you can show off your choir. And by the way, most choirs are quite short on boys, but your choir is almost even with boys and girls.
Yeah, it kind of ebbs and flows. We've had definitely some years here where I've had that same dynamic where 7/8 girls and 1/8 boys, but so happened this year that we have a number of young men that are singing, and so it's been wasn't sure how this year was going to look. We had a lot of seniors last year, so waited until September got here, and then as things have been going along, it's been a really nice balanced group and a young group. So if we're in, you know, we're on the coach's show, so this is one of those you'd call maybe a building year. You have a lot of freshmen and sophomores, and growing through those things that you used to not have to tell people because they just knew it. You find yourself having to teach some things you haven't had to teach in a little while because everybody just knew how to do it. But that's good for me, too.
Well, that's right. You're a busy man. Running a lot of different directions, just like any other coach in athletics. So that's great. So just kind of in closing here, let's review what happened at the state tournament once again.
Yeah, so we had the group of our four freshman gentlemen who had been selected and given the opportunity to go down there and sing the national anthem for that 5 o'clock tournament event. It was the consolation matches, and third, I think they actually worked all the way up to first there. I think it was the finals of it. So
right.
And Team United was wrestling right away. So it was pretty cool. We sang about 100 feet. Away from some of their own classmates who were going to be wrestling, you know, and then, of course, the gentleman from Dawson Boyd and Montevideo as well.
Right.
But that was just pretty cool to have that opportunity of getting to sing at the state tournament, but also knowing that there were people from our own, you know, neighborhood right there with us.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for carting them around. That was a long day for them, and you probably spent about 6 hours in a vehicle.
Yeah, just about that, yep.
Going down and going back. But in the future, as you have some events, school events coming up and concerts and that, why don't you let us know here at the radio station, and we can advertise it and tell just like you had, like what was going on this up-and-coming Monday and Thursday, so that more people will be informed, because a lot of people listen to the Culture Show.
Okay, we shall do that. We'll make sure you guys know what's going on.
All right. That's Chad Felton, the vocal music director at Lacaparo Valley, talking about his job and a great opportunity for four freshman boys to sing the national anthem at the Xcel Energy Center for the Minnesota State High School Wrestling Tournament. With that, we'll have more of the Culture Show after this.
Program Shadowing is back again during the annual Diesel Extravaganza on March 14th at the Canby campus of Minnesota West Community and Technical College. Explore career paths and meet instructors in diesel technology, dental assistant, electrician, solar, wind energy, and power line technology. Learn about scholarships available for fall of 2024, including the North Star Promise and Workforce Development Scholarships. Register online for the Canby, Minnesota Extravaganza event at mnwest.edu.
Some days, I feel so down, I can barely get out of bed. Is this depression?
I feel so tense and worried all the time. Is this anxiety?
Check up on your mental health. Take an online mental health screening at mentalhealthmn.org. Mental Health Minnesota has online mental health screenings, resources, support, and connections to treatment and crisis services. All anonymous, confidential, free of charge, and open 7 days a week. Mental Health Minnesota is here for you. mentalhealthmn.org. Sponsored by Mental Health Minnesota, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Myers Electric and Infrared is your one-stop shop for all of your electrical needs. Whether it be replacing a broken light switch or wiring your new home or business, Myers Electric and Infrared are the ones to call for expert advice and professional service. We service the entire KLQP listening area and would love the opportunity to work with you on your next electrical project. Check us out on the web at MyersEandI.com, like us on Facebook, and call 320-226-7447 for your free estimate.
All right, coming up next on the Coach's Show, last night Maynard Meyer interviewed Brody Peterman of the Lacaparo Valley Robotics Team. They are up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, in a competition yesterday and today, and we'll hear that interview here shortly. The Dawson Boyd Robotics Team, they're also up there, along with KMS, competing up in Grand Forks today. And if you want to listen to those interviews with the Dawson Boyd Robotics Team and Lacaparo Robotics Team, you can go on klqpfm.com and click on podcast. Let's hear that interview with Maynard and Brody right now.
Maynard Meyer for Q92 Radio. On the line with me right now, we have Brody Peterman from the Lacaparo Valley Robotics Team, better known as the Jukebots these days. And they're participating in some competition up in Grand Forks. Brody, tell us what's going on up there.
So we're competing up in Grand Forks at the Great Northern Regional. We've had 6 matches today. We've lost 2 and we've won 4 of our matches. And we're currently ranked number 10 of 56 teams.
Well, that's not too bad. Where does it go from here now? Competition continue tomorrow?
The competition will continue tomorrow. We're hoping to get at least 8th, ranked 8th. That way we can be a team leader in the finals and then pick our other 2 members of our team.
Okay, tell us, for those of us who haven't seen the robot this year, just what does it have to do this year? What's it all about?
So the robot has a arm that will go over our bumpers, and then we'll pick up a note. We'll lift the arm back up, then we'll drive as quick as we can to a tall pole thing. Not a pole, but a box. And then we'll shoot the note into a box, and then we'll go back and get another note.
Okay, so it's just how many can shoot the most of them into the box over the shortest period of time. Is it a timed event, or how's that work?
We have 2 minutes and 30 seconds total. The first 15 seconds, the robot is not controlled by humans. It's controlled by itself. And then the last 2 minutes 15, it's controlled by August Amland, and he's doing a great job driving it this year.
All right, how all do you have on the team there? Are there too many to mention, or you got all the names there?
We could probably get at the names. We have me, which is Brody Peterman. We have Jonathan Redepenning, Anthony Tafoya. We have Tyler Rolfsmeyer, August Amland. We have Dante Torres. We have Casey Piotr. We have RJ Kuzman. We have Kate Olsted. We have Abby Amland. We have Anthony Larson. And we have Darren Reltz.
Now, how long does, shall we say, your season go there? After this, is there more competition coming up, or what happens?
So, depending upon how we do here, we might advance to Worlds, which we might not. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. And then,
where would that be?
Worlds would be in Houston, Texas, wow, and then it would be robots competing from all over the world.
That'd be fun to get down there, wouldn't it?
It would be. I don't have the highest hopes.
Well, you never know. Keep your fingers crossed, huh? Have you been? Is this your? How many years have you been doing this, Brody?
This is my second year in robotics.
Okay, and everybody else, you got some seasoned veterans on your team there, or everybody kind of just?
Yep.
I know I've seen some of the faces there before.
Yeah, this is August's 4th year. This is his second year driving, so he's very qualified for it. This is also Dante's 3rd year in robotics, and then Anthony Tafoya has 2 years. Like I said, I have 2 years. RJ Kuzman also has 2 years. And Tyler Rosemeyer also has 2 years. Everyone else is a new face.
All right. Well, great. Sounds like you're having fun, doing a good job, having a pretty good day there. I know we were watching a little bit of it online earlier. Paul Ramo had it on his computer in his office. So
it's on our Facebook page.
Okay.
You can get it. Get it through there.
And that's Jukebots. That's JUKEBOTS. Jukebots Facebook page. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good video there. Kind of a nice shot of all the competition going on, and got an announcer there and everything. So we encourage people to get online and check that out. When does the competition start on Saturday? What time?
I believe the competition starts around 8:30. Sorry.
That continue on through the morning into the afternoon then.
Our first match is 8:55, and I don't know when our next one is after that.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Brody, appreciate you taking some time out of the busy schedule up there in Grand Forks. Bring us up to date on how the Juke of luck to you and the team there, and we'll get an update again tomorrow, hopefully.
All righty. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Bye now.
Farmers, this is your ticket to a bumper harvest. From golden corn rows to lush bean vines, we've got your fields covered. Haas Seeds offers Agra Gold and Golden Harvest seed products for all your seed needs. Contact Seth Haas at 320-444-1601 or Steve at 320-444-0439 today. Seeds, Seth and Steve Haas, Madison. So Wearable Designs in Appleton offers a good inventory of apparel items, custom-made jewelry, belts, caps, blankets, bags, and much more. Home decor items as well. Check them out on Main Street, Appleton. Did you know you can create and share your own designs using their website? Go to SoWearableDesigns.com and be creative. So Wearable Designs, downtown Appleton.
back here at the studio for the finish out the culture show. Pretty good show this morning. Wrestling and basketball and robotics and even talking about some vocal music with a quartet that's becoming famous around here. And might mention, don't forget about Thursday at 7:30, they'll be singing the national anthem at a musical choir out at school at 6:30 for the elementary and or 5 through 8 and the 9 through 12 at 7:30. Also, spring sports right around the corner as boys and girls track and softball will start practice on Monday. So if you're looking at going out for any of those activities, get your paperwork and physicals done. And you look outside, it's a little cool today and yesterday and today, but it's going to start warming up next week. So hopefully we can get outside and do some of those things as the next 2 weeks, the other remaining five spring sports will be starting up within the next couple weeks as well. Well, we'll finish out the show with a couple Dick Newman sick jokes of the week, if you want to call them that. So if a cow doesn't produce milk, is it a milk dud or a utter failure? And secondly, I see people about my age mountain climbing and doing all kinds of things. I feel pretty good if I can get my leg through my underwear without losing balance. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.